2 Samuel, and I want to read one verse from chapter 15, and then read the first four verses of chapter 16. But if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 15, I want to read verse 31, and if you would stand with me as I read the scriptures. It says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And then in chapter 16 and verse 1 it says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I might find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. I pray that you would encourage us, inspire us to live our lives in a godly manner. Help us, Lord, to be different than much of the world around us,
Amen.
But to be people who love you, who serve you, and who mirror your behavior in our own lives. So God bless as I preach this message. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We have been studying the life of David for some time now, and those of you that have been here throughout these messages realize that the majority of our messages revolved around the godly character of David. And yet more recently, we've taken a look at what I entitled David's Life Part 2, and how things took a turn for the worse after his sin with Bathsheba. And I've got a thought in mind this morning that I'm preaching on, and that is, we need more Davids. And since I know that most recently what's in your mind in regards to David is not necessarily positive, I want to remind you that David's one sin, if I can say it that way, doesn't discount the godly man that he was. Matter of fact, when you look at the great men of God in the Bible, you will most often find a glaring fault or sin in their lives. There are some exceptions where God does not reveal to us any sins in a man's life, and yet that doesn't mean that he was without sin. When we look at the life of Joseph, I don't know that we see anything negative in respect to his character and his conduct.
Right.
But he was a sinner just like the rest of us.
Sure.
But when we look at men like Moses, we see faults. We see a man that was overzealous in the beginning of his service for the Lord and slew an Egyptian. But you know, we overlook that because we look at Moses' life as a whole. And as a whole, we see that he was a man that feared God. And you know what? I think we need to keep that in mind, not only in regards to ourselves, but in regards to others. Because when we look at others, we're going to see faults. We're going to see flaws. We're going to see sins. We're going to see a lack of maturity. But you know what? If we love those people, we'll overlook it. You know, like Moses, there are many young fundamentalists that have a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom. I may be amongst them. Amen? And yet sometimes people are not willing to give those young fundamentalists the benefit of the doubt. They're not willing to exhibit towards them charity, but they should.
Right.
I'm glad there are people in the world that have zeal.
Amen.
For the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That take His work serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Moses was. It caused him to do some things sometimes that probably weren't right. But God understood that the intentions of his heart were good. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it okay. But that's why God still used Moses. And again, we could go and look at one man after another in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament and find that men of God had flaws. Samson, he's listed in the Hall of Faith, but yet the man was plagued with sins. Simon Peter, a man that God used mightily, but a man that had flaws, a man that sinned at times, that was even rebuked by the Apostle Paul.
Yes, sir.
And so David's life, though he had this glaring flaw, this glaring sin that God puts on display here in the book of 2 Samuel, it doesn't mean that he was a wicked man. It means he'd done a wicked thing. But overall, David was a godly man. And we need more Davids in this world. You see, throughout the last couple of weeks, I've been looking at the chapters of 2 Samuel from David's sin and on. And I was impressed with the thought that there are so many men on these pages of the Scriptures that are wicked. We've already highlighted many of them. And I feel that these men's lives are given to us perhaps in contrast to David's life. Because you look at 1 Samuel and you look at the first half of 2 Samuel and you see on display David, the man of God. A man with the utmost character. A man with integrity. A man that is for the most part honest. And then you come across these other men. Men like Absalom. And the thought occurred to me, there are a lot of Absaloms in the world. And so allow me this morning to highlight to you some of these wicked men. And then allow me to rehearse to you some of the things that we've seen about David. And then encourage you to be a David, not an Absalom. You see, Absalom was the son of David. But Absalom was a rebel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, preacher. He sure was.
You know, he plots deceitfully to lure his brother Amnon to a remote place so that he could kill him. Mm-hmm. Now, Amnon wasn't the greatest of men. Well, I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But that didn't give Absalom the right to take his life. David might not have done right by not punishing Amnon, but that didn't give Absalom the right to take matters into his own hands. But that's what he did. And he killed his own brother. Young people, I don't see Absalom as a good man. He also deceitfully and purposefully stole the hearts of the people of Israel from his father and from their king, King David. He wanted the people to follow him. He didn't want them to follow David. And so he purposefully, as we looked last week, sat at the gate and stole their hearts through empathy, through attacking the character and conduct of David, and through giving them an alternative, and that is, I'll give you what you want, rather than maybe what David would have done, which was give them what they need, tell them what they needed to hear. And so Absalom stole the hearts of the people, revolted against his father, and sat upon his throne. I mean, it's an awful thing that this was Absalom's king. But it's even worse to know that this was his father. His father. Can you imagine? How about you young people? Can you imagine rebelling against your dad? Can you imagine turning from the instruction, turning from the one who loved you, who brought you into this world, who cared for you, who provided for you, turning against him, turning the hearts of the people against him, making other people not like him? I don't know, but that seems to be a grave offense to me. And that's the kind of man Absalom was.
Right.
It reminds me about a man I know. A man that not only turned his back on his pastor, but turned his back on his own father. At least if I understand the situation correctly. Disagreed with the doctrine of his father and left his church, took people with him, started his own church in the same community. I just shake my head when I think about it. If I understand it right, I can't think of too many sins that are as grave as that. That's the kind of sinner Absalom was. He rebelled, not just against his king, but against his dad. And there's a lot of Absaloms in the world. There's a lot of rebels. You know, young people, there's a lot of young people that don't like to listen to anything mom or dad has to say. That's how most young people are. They don't want to listen to mom and dad. They get to a point where they think they're smarter than mom and dad. They think they know everything and that they don't have to listen to mom and dad. They can do whatever they want. They can live their life the way they want to live it. And it's true, you can. You can be a rebel. And when you grow up and you turn 18, you can leave your house and you can live your life any old way you want. But you know what? If you do that, you'll find out that you'll be sorry for it.
Right.
That you'll regret it. We got far too many rebels in our society today. We don't need any more.
Right.
How about Amnon, another individual that we've talked about? He forced himself upon his half-sister, stealing her innocence, and then sending her away angrily, demonstrating that he was a man that lacked any character whatsoever.
Right.
He too deceived his father, claiming to be sick, requesting that her services be rendered unto him. And yet the whole time he knew what his intentions were, his lustful intentions of forcing himself upon his sister. And that's what he did. He just took what he wanted, like I've said previously, which is maybe a lesson he learned from David's sin with Bathsheba. He wanted something and he took it forcibly. In doing so, he robbed someone else of something they could never regain.
That's right. That's right.
All he did was follow his fleshly lust. And you know what? We too have far too many people in our society who are following after their fleshly lusts. They only care about what they want, and if someone stands in their way of getting what they want, then they'll trample on them, they'll run them over. They're only concerned about themselves. How about this man we read about in chapter 16, Ziba? We read about him previously in the book of 2 Samuel, because in chapter number 9, David is looking to show kindness unto someone, and he asks if there's anyone left of the house of Saul. And Ziba comes to David and says, yes, there is one. There's one lame on his feet, Mephibosheth. He's of the house of Saul, and he's still around, he's still alive. And so David sends Ziba to fetch Mephibosheth and bring him before his throne. And David, again, shows kindness and mercy to Mephibosheth, telling him that he gets to eat at his table from here on out. And matter of fact, gives Ziba to be his servant. And Ziba had 15 sons, if I recall correctly. And David instructed Ziba to plow the fields and harvest the crops for Mephibosheth, so that he and Ziba and his sons would have sufficient food for themselves. And that's what Ziba does. David shows kindness to Mephibosheth. But I've got the feeling that Ziba didn't like what David did. I get the feeling he didn't want to be Mephibosheth's servant. He didn't want Mephibosheth to inherit all of that land that I guess once belonged to King Saul that David gave him. I think he wanted it for himself. So here in what we just read in chapter 16, what happens when Absalom revolts against David? David flees. Ziba, at the instruction of Mephibosheth, gets some donkeys and some supplies ready, and yet Ziba leaves Mephibosheth behind, and because he's lame, he can't follow after him, and Ziba goes out to where David's at, and David says, what are these things for? And Ziba says, well, I've prepared these things so that you can eat. If anybody's thirsty, they'll have something to drink, and these animals are for all of you guys to ride upon. As though this was his idea. And David asks, well, where's Mephibosheth? Where's your master? What happened to him? And Ziba, you know what he does? He lies.
Yep, you're right.
He says he stayed back, and I heard him say, you know what? Now God's going to restore unto me my father's throne. He's going to make me the boss. He's basically saying that Mephibosheth is siding with Absalom. That wasn't true. He was a liar.
Yep.
He was nothing but a liar. And you know what? We got too many liars in the world today too.
Right.
Too many liars. Mm-hmm. They got an abundance of them at Washington, D.C.
Right.
Liars. Compromisers. They're only interested in padding their own pockets.
Yeah.
They're only interested in their own self-interests. A bunch of poll-watching compromisers. You know, I turned on the radio the other day and I was listening to it, and it's conservative talk radio. And they're talking about one poll after another poll, and evidently how all these polls drive everybody's actions. And I just had to turn the radio off. I said, what is the matter with these people? Isn't there anybody in the world today that understands principle? Isn't there anybody in the world today that can take polls and toss them in the trash can and just do what's right?
Amen.
It certainly makes things a whole lot simpler whenever you just figure out what God wants you to do, and you do that, and you don't care about popular opinion.
Right.
And you don't care about polls. Because someone who watches polls and bases their decisions upon polls is a compromiser, and you'll probably also find them to be a liar. Because they'll make you a promise, but when the polls change, they'll back out on that promise.
Right.
I'm simply saying we've got enough liars in society.
Amen.
We've got enough people following their fleshly lust. We've got enough rebels in the world like Absalom. Which leads me to another man, Shimei. He's talked about beginning in chapter 16 and verse 5. I've mentioned him in one of our previous messages as well. Here's a man when David is down on his luck. His son has revolted against him, and he's walking through this one particular town, and his Shimei sees him. What does he do? He curses the king. Casts stones at him and calls him a bloody man. I don't know, but I label this man a profane man. I mean, we can look at David and say, you know what? He brought this upon himself because of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And I don't know, maybe that's partly true. But David had repented of that sin. And like I said, that one sin doesn't make him a wicked and an evil man. David, for the most part, was a good man. And here we have one in his own nation cursing him, calling him names, casting stones at him. And I, for one, can't tolerate it. I can't tolerate profane people.
Right.
And it really don't matter what I can tolerate. I don't think God can tolerate it either.
Right.
Profane people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People that have no restraint. Mm-hmm. People that lack discipline. People who just open their mouth and outpours cursings. Outpours hatred. I don't think God can stand that type of thing.
Right.
Someone who prides himself on speaking their mind, and yet that causes them to say all kinds of things they ought not to say.
Right.
Here's Shimei. He couldn't control himself. Here was David down on his luck, and he was going to take advantage of it. You're just a bloody man. You're no good. If he was no good, he would have told his servants to go up and chop your head off.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was a good man, he didn't do that. We got enough profane people in the world. There have been times in my life, I'm sitting there, minding my own business, and you hear someone else tell the most vile joke. And it just flows out of their mouth, and I'm thinking to myself, how can they say that without blushing? Because I'm blushing. You understand what I'm saying. People telling dirty jokes, people saying bad words. I cringe when people use the Lord's name in vain. And they think nothing of it. Why? Because most of the world's profane. You know what that means, young people? They're just evil. They don't watch what they say. You ever heard somebody say, "Oh my," and then God? And they're not talking to the Lord.
Right, you're right.
They're using the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
Yes.
And it's not a good thing.
Amen.
The Lord says He'll not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. His name is above all names.
Amen.
And if there's a name we should not use irreverently, it's His name.
Amen.
Right.
His name is holy.
Yes, sir.
His name is awesome. There's a few others across these pages, these chapters of 2 Samuel. Ahithophel, he's mentioned in verse 31 of chapter 15. It says, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And those of you that are familiar with Ahithophel know that his counsel was highly esteemed. When he spoke, it was as the oracles of God, the Bible says. I mean, when he spoke, it might as well have been God speaking because people listened to what he had to say. But you know what it caused in the heart and mind of Ahithophel? Pride. It caused him to be very prideful. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, because when his counsel for the first time was rejected, you know what he did? He set his house in order and he went out and hung himself. Hung himself. He killed himself. Why? It appears because his counsel was rejected. Simply because Absalom didn't listen to him. And he was so overcome with grief, I guess, and I'm one who partly believes it had something to do with his dislike and hatred for David. I mean, David destroyed his granddaughter's family, who was Bathsheba, and so I'm sure he didn't like that, and he saw Absalom's revolt as an opportunity to get even with David, and so he told Absalom, take these men, go out there and get David, but his counsel was rejected, and now he saw that his opportunity to kill David was over, and he probably also realized that David was going to come back to the throne, and since he had conspired with Absalom, his life was in danger, so he just killed himself. But I'm saying this man was a man that was filled with pride and bitterness. And we have far too many people in the world today whose lives are filled with pride and bitterness. Mm-hmm. Bitter about all kinds of things.
Right.
And most of the time people get bitter because they think they should be treated better than what they are. But truth be told, all of us are treated much, much better than we deserve.
Amen.
If they whoop us with stripes and hang us on a cross and throw us in a shallow grave, that's better than what we deserve.
Right.
And so there's no reason for us to be bitter. But we also live in a world with people that are filled with pride. We're amongst those people. Probably. More often than not. We think we're better than we are. We look down at others, exalting ourselves. That's what pride is, exalting ourselves, abasing others. Humility is just the opposite. Where we abase ourselves, we exalt others. I'm just saying we got way too many Ahithophels in the world. We don't need more. How about David's brothers? They were antagonistic against him. This is going back to the beginning of David's life. Here he came to fight Goliath, and what do? They criticized him. What do? They questioned his motives unjustly. And again, we've got far too many people in the world who just want to criticize.
Right.
Who just want to question people's godly motives. We don't need any more people like that. We don't need any more people like King Saul, who rebelled against the commandment of God and offered up a sacrifice, who inquired of a witch, who sought the life of David for no good reason. We've got far too many people like that in the world. Far too many Nabals. Remember Nabal? He was such a son of Belial that no one could speak to him. He couldn't receive instruction. We got far too many of these types of people in the world. Far too many Absaloms. Far too many Ahithophel. Far too many Zibas. Far too many people like David's brothers. Far too many people like Nabal. And so let me say to you, we don't need any more people like that. We don't need any more liars. We don't need any more thieves. We don't need any more people following after their fleshly lust. What we need more of is more men and women like David.
Amen.
That's what we need. More men and women like David who have a heart after God's. Who love the things that God loves.
Amen.
We need men who are faithful, women who are faithful like David was. Remember David, he performed his task of watching the sheep while everyone else was at the sacrifice. Everyone else was at the party. And yet he was stuck watching the sheep. But he performed that task faithfully and he performed it with all of his strength. When a bear and a lion came out to take one of his little lambs, he didn't let them. He didn't allow himself to become complacent in his service for his father. He performed his task faithfully until his father gave him a new one.
Yeah.
Remember how faithful David was? Remember how God took him from the prairie to the palace, in part because he never sought promotion? He never sought it. He wasn't looking out to climb the corporate ladder. He was just doing what God gave him to do faithfully. He respected authority, even whenever that authority, at least doesn't seem like to us, is deserving of respect. David never took matters into his own hands. Though God promised him he would be king, he never sought to gain that position prematurely. David did not despise small beginnings.
That's right.
Remember his battle with Goliath? He was willing to fight when no one else was willing to fight. Where no one else was willing to fight and what no one else was willing to fight. That's what David was willing to do.
Right.
And there was nobody else that was willing to do that. David was the only one. He stood out amongst all the soldiers of the armies of Israel. No one else would fight that giant, but David would. That's the kind of people we need in the world. We need people who stand out from everybody else, who don't lie, who don't steal, who aren't proud, who aren't bitter. We need people with godly character.
Amen.
David, we saw in one of our messages that he was loved by many. He was loved by Jonathan. Why? Because he was refreshing. Because he changed the atmosphere of Jonathan's home when he played that harp. David was loved by Israel because he was a winner, because he was conquering. Michael loved him because he was comely. He was attractive. And Saul's servants loved him because he was wise. David was all these things. He was refreshing when he played that harp. He was a winner. He was wise. Are we wise? David was a man of his word. He promised to Jonathan, "Yes, I will show unto your house kindness," and he did to Mephibosheth. David was merciful, as demonstrated by his actions towards Mephibosheth. David, he was in the habit of saying, "It's all my fault." The world's filled with people who blame everybody but themselves. David never did that. And there were so many times when we would have thought that David would have looked at someone else and said, "This is your fault," but he never did that. He always looked inwardly and saw his own shortcomings and said, "It's all my fault." And David, unlike Nabal, he listened to instruction. When Nathan, one of his own servants, came to him and rebuked him and said, "Thou art the man," he just held his head in shame and repented of his sin. He listened to instruction. David was the greatest king Israel ever had.
Yes, sir.
He was the greatest warrior Israel ever had. He was the greatest psalmist Israel ever had. We need more Davids.
Yes.
We need more Davids. The world is filled with rebels, liars, fools, profane people, bitter people, proud people, those that are seeking fleshly lust. We don't need more of those people. You young people understand what I'm saying? This goes right along with what we talked about all week at Vacation Bible School.
Amen.
We talked about these Old Testament saints, these Old Testament men of God, Abraham who was faithful, Job who endured, Elijah who prayed earnestly, Samuel and Moses who interceded for the people. Those were great men. But those men were very rare. Very rare.
Mm-hmm.
David, here you look at 2 Samuel, and especially in these latter chapters, it's filled with wicked men. Evil men. And I believe they're given to us in contrast to the life of David, especially before his sin with Bathsheba. And he wasn't a wicked man. He was a good man. Whose example will you follow? Will you follow the example of Absalom, Ahithophel, Ziba, those kinds of men? Or will you follow the example of David? Davids are rare. They're rare. They were rare in David's time, and they're rare today. But I would dare you to be rare.
Mm-hmm.
I would dare you to be a David. And you know, it all starts with having a heart after God's. It starts with the heart. And so let me close by asking you this question. Is your heart right with God? I mean, are you saved? Are you born again? Has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sin and you cried out to God and said, I'm sorry, God, for my sin. And I believe Jesus died for me and my sin, was buried and rose again the third day. And I'm asking you to save me. Has there ever been a day like that in your life where you ask God to save you? Where you turn from your sin. And folks, when you get saved, listen to me, it is a change of life.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
It's more than just saying, Lord, save me.
Right.
It is turning from your sin.
Amen.
Repenting from that sin, saying, God, I am sorry.
Right.
And I believe you died for me. And I'm asking you to save me. And if you'll genuinely put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you, He will change you.
Right.
He'll save you out of the mess you're in. Save you from the punishment that you deserve because of your sin. And He'll help you not to sin again. If you'll just walk with Him. Again, just one thought is what I'm trying to impress you with this morning. And that's this. We got enough Absaloms in the world. We need more Davids.
Amen.
So why don't you strive to be a David?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the many lessons that we can learn from it. God, as I read some of these chapters in 2 Samuel, I see one wicked, deceitful man after another. And God, I realize that this is what much of the world is composed of, wicked men, liars, people who are deceitful and proud, unwilling to listen to instruction. And yet, God, as we compare that with the life of David, we see something very different in him. We see a man that's humble, a man that loves You and desires to walk with Thee. God, I pray that You would use the message this morning to encourage Your people to be like David, to walk with Thee, to be different than the world that's around us. God, help these young people not to be another Absalom. Help them not to be another Ziba, another Amnon, another Ahithophel. Help them to love You. Lord, I know that starts with them being saved. And so if some of them have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, help them to know who Jesus is, what He's done for them, help them to be saved. So God, use this message. Use it this morning for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people. And God, use it to draw the lost unto Thyself. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.